For those who know me, you know that I like to be a little bit dramatic at times. So if I get so excited that I go, okay. So if sometimes my microphone gets wild as I wave my arms around, then please forgive me, and I hope you can still hear me. One of the most important questions that we can ask is, what do I think of God? What is my image of God? And I think if you went out on the streets and you went up to people and you say, what do you think of God? You'd get a whole range of different answers. Some of them would be nice answers, and some of them wouldn't be nice answers, I'm sure you would think. But another really important question that we need to ask is, what does God think of me? And again, when I ask that question of people, which I do sometimes in our prayer ministry times, what does God think of you? It's amazing what it sort of brings up in people's hearts. And it can often reveal quite a lot of fear and quite a lot of anxiety, because people are still very, very unsure about what Father God thinks about them. But when we really take time to be still and quiet and say, Father God, what do you think of me? We hear the Lord in lots of different ways, but always what he's saying to us is that he loves us far more than we think. He loves us far more than we imagine he does. And when we can still ourselves enough to hear that, we are overwhelmed by the fact that we are beloved by him and that he delights in us. And we know that in Ephesians 3, I'm just going to put my glasses on so I can actually see what I've got down here for Ephesians 3. Paul prayed that the people would comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So that people would comprehend. I don't know if you ever did comprehension at school. Comprehension means you actually understand what's going on. You actually understand what is in the passage. And this word comprehend means that somehow we grasp, we get it. Oh, I got it, you say. Especially if I'm telling jokes and everybody looks a bit bland. And then suddenly somebody will go, oh, I get it. Because obviously I wasn't very good at telling the jokes. Not like Florence here, who is the master joke teller here. So there is something about that word comprehend, which means we grasp it, we get it. And it is for all the saints. So that means that the prayer is that every single person gets it. And what is it that Paul is praying that we get? Again, is that what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So although we get it, we don't quite get it, because the love is so great, it surpasses our knowledge. So however much knowledge we have about the love of God, however much of the love of God we experience in our lives, it's even greater than what we can know, which is amazing, isn't it? The word that I felt God wanted me to bring to you today, as individuals, but also as a congregation, is this. You matter more than you think. We think we know the love of God, but you matter to him even more than you think you do. Now, if I could get into your heads right now, and see what you were thinking. In fact, you're probably thinking, I wonder how long she's going to go rabbiting on this morning. But if I could get into your heads and I could see or hear what you are thinking about yourself. Well, let me talk about myself, shall I? If I shared with you what is in my head about what I think about myself, and I think probably you're quite similar, I would say there's sort of like three tracks like three pathways that my mind goes down. The first pathway, what do I think of myself, is actually full of pride. It's full of self-absorption. It's all about me. It's all about what's going on with me. It's all about what I look like to other people. It's all about what you'll all think of me this morning and whether I'll do a good job for you. It's that path we go down where we get a bit full of ourselves. And it is also the place where we get offended, isn't it? It's the place of pride, and that's the place where we get offended. It's also the place where we try to impress people, where we exaggerate just to make things look a little better. It's the place where we name drop, isn't it? Because somehow it just makes us look better. So that's one pathway that I think, if we're all really honest, there is a little part of our brain that says that about ourselves. And there is a scripture which actually says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but with sound judgment. Now, the second of the little paths that I know goes on in my mind is what I call an inferiority pathway. So there's part of me that is probably going down this track, well, I'm a bit useless. You know, I'm not as good as everybody else. I bet the person who brought the sermon last week was fantastic compared to me. You know, everybody's thinner than me, or prettier than me, or younger, or wealthier, or more talented, or whatever. Somehow, you know, I just don't quite make it. Just don't quite fit in. I'm just a bit different from everybody else. And there can be that pathway in our mind that if we start to go down it, it does end up in quite a miserable place, doesn't it? But there is a third pathway that goes on in my thinking that actually says, do you know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. And we use that expression, doesn't it, about being comfortable in your own skin. And there is something about that that says, I know my weaknesses, I know what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, I know who I am, who I'm not, and actually that is good, and I feel fine in it. In fact, I'm just going to give you a little doggy story, is that when we got our Labrador, it didn't fit into its skin because there was more skin than there was dog. And you can see that with little puppies, can't you? When you pull on their skin, there's masses of skin there that they still have to grow into. And you see those wonderful pictures of those really wrinkly dogs with all that lots of skin hanging off them. And so for us, there is a who we are that we are comfortable with because it is what God says we are. But there's also more skin for us to grow into. So we know who we are, but who we can become is even bigger. We are comfortable in our skin, but our skin gives us room to grow. So I would say the first two of those pathways, the pride pathway or the inferiority pathway, both of those have to do with us making comparisons of ourselves with other people. And I don't know if you remember years ago there was some sketch, was it John Cleese, and there was three different heights of men, or was it the two Ronnies? I can't remember. And one was upper class and one was middle class and one was lower class, and goes, I look up at him and he looks down at me, and I don't know if you remember that sketch. And I thought, well, actually, when we compare ourselves to somebody else, we either feel better than them, which leads to pride, or we feel worse than them, which leads to actually often envy and jealousy and makes us feel rubbish about ourselves. Both of those, when we compare ourselves with other people, do you know, we never end up very happy. Because we either end up down the path of pride or down the path of inferiority. But when we find our value and our worth in the Lord, we are on that middle path, aren't we? Where we know who we are and we're comfortable in our own skin. And we're really happy for everybody else to be comfortable in their own skins as well. So that scripture I said about, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, it says, but have sound judgment. So when we want to know who we are, who do you think gives us sound judgment? Father God. He's the only one who can actually tell us who we are and what we are worth. Glasses on again. Anybody here watch the Antiques Roadshow? Yeah. My husband is a great advocate of it, and in fact at times we've all got to sit quietly at home when it's on or leave the room because he's so involved in it. And it is fun, isn't it? People bring along their treasures and everything, and the experts look at it, and we all sit around. And one of the things they talk about on the Antiques Roadshow is provenance. And I checked this out with Robin, who knows about these things. Provenance is actually proof of the story behind the item, isn't it? It's when people have the receipts and they have the story that this belonged to this person and it was passed to that person. This happened to them then. This is why, how it was used in this place. Provenance is, in a sense, knowing the story of that treasure. And the truth about us is that God alone knows our story. He knows where we have walked. He knows the good times we've been through. He knows the hopes and dreams we have. He knows the fears we have. He knows the triumphs we've had, but he also knows the failures we've had. He knows everything about us, and yet he still loves us. It's an amazing comfort, isn't it, that he knows us exactly, but he still loves us. Now, I don't know about you, but in our house on the Antiques Roadshow, of course, it's the, but what's it worth, is always, actually, the story's one thing, but we're really not all that interested in the story. What we want to know is, how much is it worth? And I don't know if you all sit around at home and you all make your guesses on what it's worth. Just as a little sideline, I took my youngest son, Ed, who's 20, to do his shopping before he went back to college. And we looked at the conveyor belt full of food and we played that little game, how much is it going to cost? And I was actually quite pleased that he got it right. So he's obviously learning the value of what it actually costs to buy food. But that's the thing we want to know, isn't it? What is it worth? And the answer, there's two answers really. One answer, it is worth what somebody is willing to pay for it. They always say, if this went to auction, people would be willing to pay this amount for it. That is what it is worth. And for us, we are worth what Jesus was prepared to pay for us. That is our measure of worth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Ephesians 5, Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even when we were still sinners and rubbish and living a terrible life, he still said, you are worth my life being given for you. That is how valuable we are. And you can say, well okay then, but what was Jesus' life worth? He was sinless. He was spotless. He was perfect. He was the beloved son of his father. He was the most valuable, the most magnificent being in the whole world. And he gave his life for us. He gave his life for you. Because he says you're worth it. You were worth his life. Why did he do it? And it says, see how much, in 1 John, see how much love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Lavished. I love that word, lavish, isn't it? Lavish. It's a great word. I'm going to just say it again because it's great, isn't it? Do you want to say it? Lavish. There's nothing stingy about lavish, isn't it? he's lavished his love on us. That is what God thinks of us. Now, Bill Johnson, he says... I'm sorry, is there any chance of having a little bit of water or squash or something? I'm just... Thanks ever so much, Barbara. Bill Johnson says... He says, we dare not have a thought in our head about ourselves that God does not have in his head. Why would we have thoughts in our head about ourselves that God doesn't have? We dare not. It's completely ridiculous. Why would we do that? It's lies. It's rubbish. Why do we have thoughts in our heads? We dare not have them because they're not reflecting sound judgment of who we actually are. Another Bill Johnson quote is, he's always in a good mood with us. God is always in a good mood with us. Now, that isn't something the average person in the street, or I have to say, sometimes the average Christian in a church doesn't always feel that God is in a good mood with them. For some people who've come from a background where maybe the way they were brought up, their home life was very chaotic, maybe if their parents were in and out of their lives, or one minute emotionally there and another minute absent, or they've come from a background where maybe there's been alcoholism or addiction or something, we know that there are mood swings. Thanks ever so much, Barbara. And so we can get used to the fact, we can begin to think that Father God has mood swings with us. And if we're doing well and being good, he's in a good mood. And if we're not, he's in a bad mood. I'm sorry, I'm putting it really, really simply, but I hope that it's, you know, it's helpful for you to think. But actually, because God's love is so lavished on us, even when we've got it wrong, he's actually always in a good mood with us. We don't need to tread on eggshells, thinking, can I go and pray today or will I be rejected? Am I good enough? He always is in a good mood with us. His face is always shining on us and is gracious to us. So we can say, but what about my sin? He says, I've taken care of that. Tick. But what about my weaknesses? I know about those. Tick. So do I need to impress you, God? Actually, I know all about you. It doesn't work. Tick. He just loves and loves and loves us abundantly and lavishly. Will we stay the same under that love? No. We'll go from glory to glory. We'll grow into our skin. We're not going to stay puppies with Father God. The more we sit under his love, the more we will fill out our skin and become the people that God has created us to be. We will be changed. You see, you matter to him more than you think. Now, if we shouldn't have thoughts in our heads about ourselves that he doesn't have, then we shouldn't have words on our tongues about ourselves that aren't in the heart of God. And sometimes we speak out, don't we, things about ourselves that are rubbish, either things that are kind of full of ourselves or things that put us down. And yet they're not the things that God is saying, and yet they have power to bring destruction to us, our own words. Therefore, we need to learn and go, I'm not going to say that anymore because God isn't saying that about me. And start to speak out the things that he actually says about me. So we're just going to practice a few of those now, if that's all right. Di started off with you all saying how magnificent you are, and I absolutely agree with that. So if I can just say a word, a declaration, and then you follow it and you repeat it after me, that would be fantastic. And then we'll see what it feels like. Okay? I am lavished in love by the Father. I am lavished in love by the Father. Feels good already, doesn't it? I am worth Jesus dying for. I am worth Jesus dying for. There is nothing I can do that will make God love me more. There's nothing I can do that will make God love me more. And there is nothing I can do that will make him love me less. There is nothing I can do that will make him love me less. I matter to God so much more than I think. Matter to God so much more than I think. I'm just going to let that sink with you a little minute. Jesus, just impart that to people's hearts, that revelation, deep into their spirit, of how much you love them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If we could grasp our identity in Christ and who he has uniquely created us to be, then we will be in so much awe of ourselves that we will never want to be anyone else. If we could only grasp how amazing is our identity and our calling uniquely as individuals, we will be so in awe. We will so embrace that. We will so shout, yes! That we won't need to compare ourselves with other people and wish we were like them. The comparison, the pride, the envy, it just drops away when you know who you are in Christ. It sounds a little bit as if you're inflating yourself, doesn't it? Fancy being in awe of yourself. That sounds like, oh dear, that doesn't sound quite easy, especially for us here in Britain. We find that quite difficult, don't we? And yet, it's not that we're full of pride about who we are. Because remember, we are the clay and God is the potter. So a beautiful pot that is not only beautiful but really useful, when people see it, they're giving glory to the potter who made it. When there's a beautiful work of art, people are giving glory by saying it's beautiful. They're giving glory to the artist and the skill of the artist. When you recognize how amazing you are and how God has made you, it's not to puff you up with pride. It actually is giving glory to the one who made you. So, okay, yes, yeah, sometimes we need to be a little careful how we phrase it with some people who might not understand. There is this saying that goes, oh, she thinks she's God's gift to mankind. And we see it as a bit of a negative thing, doesn't it, don't we? And yet the truth is, we are God's gift to mankind. And that's not because we're full of pride about ourselves. It's because that is who God has made us. Full of himself for the world. We are masterpieces created in Christ Jesus for good works, says in Ephesians 2. We are his masterpiece created for good works. So each of us has this unique place as well in the body of Christ, his body. Each person has a different role to play by their personality, by their skills, by their gifting. And each person is uniquely important to the body of Christ. We know that passage, don't we, in 1 Corinthians about the body that says, can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you? And how ridiculous. If we were all eyes, we wouldn't be able to walk anywhere. If we were all feet and no hands, we wouldn't be able to pick anything up or create anything with our hands. We all need each other. We know the imagery, but when we just look around the room at one another, we say, actually, I need that person. 1 Corinthians 14 says, when you come together, each of you has a word, a hymn, a revelation. Every person that comes into the body of Christ has something very special to offer and to bring. Now, for some people, that is standing up the front leading worship. For some people, it is the service of coming and setting out the chairs or doing the PA or making the coffee and the cake. For some people, it is the fact that you sit there and you look across the room and you can spot when somebody's unhappy. And your heart is moved. And while you're sitting here, you're praying. And you say, Lord, just touch that person in their need. It may be that during the week, you do a little text on your phone, if you do that, and say, thinking of you. That is so important. What you do is really, really important. The other thing people bring to the body of Christ, maybe you bring God's good mood to people. Because if God is in a good mood with you, maybe that is what you are so good at doing, is bringing a good mood to other people. Because let's face it, when we're with people who are in a good mood, it is infectious, isn't it? We get a bit of hope, don't we? And we pick up and it feels good. So maybe you are an atmosphere shifter in the world and in the body of Christ. So that you come next to people who you know are struggling and going through a difficult time. And just by sitting next to them on a Sunday, you can bring hope. You almost bring them under your umbrella. You carry a good mood with you, and you go and you just put it over the person next to you. And so you influence them in that way by bringing God to them. You matter more than you think to the body of Christ here, to the church. Everyone brings something, and you matter more than you think. Sometimes for people, their experience of church or in other places is that they've been made to feel that they don't matter, or they're made to feel small, or that they are not valued. And these thoughts, if we allow them, they take us down that path, doesn't it? That isn't helpful. And some people get stuck on that path and they miss out not only on receiving the blessings of the church community, but of giving in to the church community. So I just like to pray just a really simple prayer. I don't want anybody to wave hands or anything like that. I just want to pray a prayer over you that if anybody has said or done anything to you within the church community that has made you feel less than valued, then I'm going to just break that off you. Sometimes it is a blanket condemnation of feeling, I don't belong, I will never belong, that the enemy lays on us. And it is not true. So if you're happy, I'd just like to pray that. And if that applies to you, then you just come into that as I pray. Yeah. Father, I choose to forgive anyone who has said things to me or treated me in a particular way that has made me feel that I have no value in the church. And I forgive them now, and I release them from that judgment I've made. Because, Lord, I want to grow into my skin. I want to grow into being comfortable with who I am. And, Lord, I want to enjoy belonging. So I just break off you in Jesus' name any condemnation, any words that have been spoken over you that keep you small. And I just say, grow into your skin in Jesus' name. Okay, here's a few declarations to say to each other. So if you can find somebody next to you, or Di, there's a gentleman at the front here. Paul, I'm sure you can turn behind you. So I'd like you to say to one another, I have need of you. Ha ha. Barbara's just said, now look at me and say it. Okay, I want you to say to that person, you are valuable and honored in this church. You are welcome and at home in this family. And to Vicky and Henry, we say, you are valuable and honored in your new church. They have a need of you. And you will be welcome and at home in their family. Okay, hand her the tissues, everybody. And just finally, so that was you matter more than you think in the church. And I hope you're beginning to sense that you do matter more than you think in this church, and that is God's word over you. But the final you matter more is you matter more than you think in the world. You are people of God that has been given specific spheres of influence. You know how I just gave that illustration of an umbrella? And that you can just get alongside somebody who's struggling, and somehow you can create an atmosphere of faith and love and hope over them when maybe they've lost it themselves. Just to say that out there in your workplaces, your families, your street, you know, down at the supermarket, wherever you are, you have a sphere of influence of carrying the sweet fragrance of Christ to people. We had a friend called Susan who's an army wife friend of mine, and she used to say she used to go to these big sort of parties that the army put on where there'd be a room full of 200 people all talking away at the same time. And she wasn't a believer herself, but she'd come up to me and she says, I can smell the Christians. She could walk through a room of 200 and she'd go, that one and that one. And that one, and that one. And then she'd get into conversation, just as she does, and lo and behold, they went to church, or they were, you know, whatever. And she says, I can smell them. And we used to laugh about it, and actually she did come to faith herself. So it was obviously the sweet aroma of Christ for those who were being saved. Now, as individuals, we hope we smell nice, but in the natural. But we often just don't recognise, because we don't realise we matter more than we think out there. That actually, because we have sat under this lavish love of God, he has changed our hearts. We carry the presence of God wherever we are. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places to have authority over where the enemy has had a field day. We have authority in our prayers to be effective in a change. We're Christ's ambassadors with the ministry of reconciliation. That means we can actually go into situations and we can bring peace. We can bring peace between people and we can bring peace between them and God. We can release reconciliation and peace between people. We are bringers of heaven to earth. You see, we carry within us good news. And what is this good news? Sin is dealt with. Tick. The Father is smiling. Tick. We are loved. Tick. We can confidently be all he has made us to be. And our lives can make an impact. That is our message to every person that we meet. So we can love people in the same way as the Father loves us. Can we see beyond their sin and their brokenness like the Father does with us? And say, beyond that is this amazing person made in the image of God. Do we love them even when they're a mess? Even when they don't agree with us, even when they behave terribly, do we have the Father's love that we can keep giving to them in that unconditional way? Do we smile at people? If God is always in a good mood with us, is that something that we can expect to carry as part of our coming into the image of Christ? Is that we actually carry being in a good mood with other people? Now that is quite challenging, isn't it? Because sometimes we're not in a good mood and we get grumpy and irritable and cross with people. But generally speaking, the more we stay under the good mood of Father towards us, so we can be in a good mood to other people. And that is huge. Just a little example. I don't want to, you know, go into lots of sort of I do this and I do that because I'm not all that good at this. But one of the things when I go down, we've got a little Sainsbury's just down near us on Wootton Way, and you know, there's always milk to buy and bread, and I'm in and out. And I've always tried to be in a good mood with the people who are serving. And because they are under a lot of pressure and sometimes can get a bit grumpy and people are very irritable to them. So I always try, you know, and just say, Lord, help me just to love them. Help me just to be nice to them and kind to them and understanding of what they, you know, what they go through. And so that has been happening over the years, really. I've just gone in and tried to bring just the gentle love of being in a good mood to people. And one day I was walking, and one of the ladies who works there, I could hear her really sort of upset talking to somebody else. And afterwards I said to her, what's happening for you? Is there a problem? And she said, oh, they want to change my contracts, and I want to see my grandchildren, and I don't know what to do, and really upset. So right in the middle of Sainsbury's, I said, can I pray with you about that? Now, let me tell you, I'm not a really brave evangelist or anything like that. You know, that was quite risky for me. But I said, can I pray with you about that? So there and then, in the middle of Sainsbury's, I just said, Lord, will you just sort out this contract for this lady who you love so much so she can spend time with her family? And she just said, thank you very much. And I went off and got me bread and milk. The next week when I went in, she came rushing up to me, threw her arms around me, gave me a big hug, and she said, I can't believe it. They've changed their whole plans for me. They've given me my whole contract that I want and my husband, and God heard our prayer. Thank you so much. And I was just really thrilled. And last week I went in again, there was another lady at the checkout, and I said, how are you doing? How's your day? And she said, some good days, some bad days. So I thought, something's going on. People don't say some good days, some bad days, unless something's going on. And it was interesting because, I mean, I just brought one bottle of milk, and normally I go to the kind of self-checkout, but that day I thought, no, go and talk to somebody and smile at them and be friendly. And she then poured out about her bereavement that she'd had. And I was able to say, can I just pray for you to have fine peace? So there's me with my bottle of milk and her behind the checkout, and I just said, Lord, just give this lady peace. Now, that sounds as if I'm really, you know, I'm going off on a damn pride pathway. But it isn't, because actually it wasn't about me. It was about the love that God had put in me for those people, and going week after week after week after week, purposing to be kind and loving and valuing them. And then when the moment was right, it was easy just to take that love a step further in actually praying for them. And I don't know whether they'll come to the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen in their pathway. But what I know, this was the skin that God gave me to grow into. And so really that's what Mother Teresa said this. She said, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. And I just so want to be that sort of person. I so want to be that person, that everybody who encounters me, or the love of God in me, goes away better and happier. And it doesn't take much to make a big difference in somebody's life. And you know, we have more than a little to give. We've got this amazing, lavishing love and power of God pouring into our lives all the time. Therefore, as we go out into the world, we can lavish and pour that love on each person we meet. It doesn't have to be the big thing. It can just be the acknowledgement, the smile, the look in the eye that says, I see you. I see you and where you're at and what you're going through. You see, you matter more than you think in the world out there. And just, I know we're nearly at the end, so just another few declarations I'd like you to make over yourselves. I am an influential person. My prayers are powerful and effective. I leave people with a clearer understanding of God's goodness and love. I just want to live like that. Do you know what I mean by a bonsai plant? Do you ever go to the garden centre and you see these bonsais, which are like little miniature trees? And the reason they are miniature, they're perfectly formed, but they're very small, is because they're put in a very small pot and their roots are cut and clipped. And it's because their roots are small and they're in a small pot is why they can't grow into really what their DNA says they should be. And going right back to the beginning of the passage about the love of God, it talks about our roots going down deep into the love of God, so that out of that depth of our roots into the love of God, we can grow into our skin. We can fulfill the destiny that God's called us to. Sometimes when we use the word destiny, we think of great and mighty things. And somebody said to me once, today could be the best day of my life. Or today could be the best day of your life. And inwardly you think, oh, I don't think so. And then I think, okay, so what has been the best day of my life? And of course I think about marrying Robin. And I think about the birth of my two sons. They were fantastic days. Well, once they arrived. Or you can think about the day you're promoted or you win the lottery or, you know, whatever. We think about these huge events, making it the best day of our life. But when I actually stop and think, what is it? What is it at the end of the day when I think, oh, I've had a fantastic day? It's usually because I have known how loved I am by God. And everywhere I've gone, I've wanted to love people. And at the end of those days, I think, yes, do you know, that was the best day of my life. So every day could be the best day of our life. Because we are coming into our destiny, we're growing into our skin, we matter more than we think, because we are loved so lavishly, and because we love other people. So I just want to pray that God will break off the bonsai pots that keep us small, whether it is spiritually, whether it is emotionally, whether it is in our thinking patterns. And again, I believe this is a message not only for us as individuals, but for you as a congregation, that God will break off anything that keeps us from coming into the full destiny of what he has called us and created us to be. Fantastic. That's all right, Barbara. Father, you know us. And you know the things that have maybe kept our roots short and small from really delving down into your love. And you know the little pots that look nice, that are actually quite comfortable, but actually have kept us small. And so, Father, I just pray that you will break off those pots in Jesus' name. And I just speak to the roots. And I say, grow. Grow. Untangle yourselves and grow deep and deep and deep into the lavish love of God. take up the nutrients that you need to grow. And Father, I pray for each person here that they will grow into their skin, that they will grow into their destiny of being loved and loving. In Jesus' name, amen.